Thanks for joining us. 708 Local News, Timeless Hits at WRGN. Let's get involved in the community of Racine because my guest is the vice chair of the Racine County Traffic Safety Commission. Tom Nitter is here. Little background on you. You were with the police department for a long time, right?
I was with Caledonia Police for 21 years, total of 33 years in law enforcement service. I worked for the UW system, both in Milwaukee and down at Parkside. And I was also with U.S. Marshals Service for a period of time. So,
when you were with
variety of assignments.
When you were with the Marshals Service, did you have to pick up people and transport them to different, you know, like if somebody had a warrant out in Florida, you had to bring them back?
Well, that wasn't one of my assignments. My assignment was primarily just bringing people from either the local jails where the Marshals Service contracted with, or more than likely, down to what we call the Metropolitan Correctional Center, the MCC in Chicago, which is a federal facility where the federal prisoners were housed.
Is that nerve-wracking to transport a prisoner? I just saw that movie Flight Risk with Mark Wahlberg, and they have to transport a prisoner from in Alaska, from some up in Alaska to Anchorage. And the U.S. Marshal is there on the plane, and the pilot, I'm not going to ruin the picture, but it's an edge of your seat thriller because there are three people in a plane with somebody there, a witness they're bringing back, the U.S. Marshal Service. It is I would never want to be, I don't want to be in the same room as some of these people.
Well, they can be very, very dangerous individuals, and there's certainly always a concern about escape risk, but the Marshal Service provides, you know, pretty good training and very competent people, the deputies that were assigned to transport.
I mean, radio people I have to deal with. That's bad enough. But now I would never want to deal with. Wow. Well, good for you. Now, you worked for my wife in Caledonia.
I did.
She was the woman on the radio. One Adam 12. See the woman. She was a dispatcher for Caledonia for a number of years. And just in that little place, she told me some horror stories about people being brought in. And it was just, and you wouldn't think in Caledonia, but there were some pretty nasty people occasionally you guys had to bring in.
Well, I think, again, when you're dealing with law enforcement, human nature is pretty universal. And you deal with people that can be violent, people that can be antisocial, and people that just break the law for whatever reason. And sometimes it can be some challenging situations, and the law enforcement agencies have to respond accordingly. So
before we leave today, I'm going to tell you, I watch a lot of police videos on YouTube, and a lot of them have to do with people who shoplift. I got to tell you something real quick. This Walmart, every shoplifter is at Walmart and Target. I mean, all these people just roll out the door. Now, they catch them most of the time. But, I mean, all these the self-checkout lines they use, and that's where they get away with it. But it seems like every Walmart in America, people are shoplifting from this store. And when you catch them, what do they do? I didn't do anything. And I'm not resisting. Meanwhile, they're pulling their arms away. And we'll talk more about that later. You're here for the Racine County Traffic Safety Commission. We're here to keep you safe. And every month, there's going to be a new topic. Now, you did this, a little background. You did this for a number of years. And then, I guess, around COVID, it stopped for a while.
It did.
And
yes,
now you brought it back in January. So we're starting a brand new year with new tips. And these are great tips, by the way. And in February, what's the topic in February?
This month's tip is rules of the road. Or in Wisconsin, the law enforcement officers that are listening, they'll be familiar with Chapter 346, the Wisconsin state statutes, which basically spells out what is kind of known in layman's terms as the rules of the road.
Now, everybody should be doing these. I mean, this is common sense stuff.
It is common sense, but there are some things that are a bit unique to, you know, driving a motor vehicle. So, you know, people have to be aware of it. And once in a while, I think because, you know, driving is one of those activities that, after a while, you get so good at it that it becomes second nature. And maybe that's one of the hazards with it, where people, you know, sometimes if you have something else on your mind and you're driving, you may get from point A to point B without a crash or causing people to leave the roadway because you're sharing the roadway with them or what have you. But at the same time, it is really something that you got to pay attention to. You got to be aware of the rules, and it's important. It's vital for everyone's safety, including your own.
And number one rule is you don't drive a car if you don't have a license. If your license is suspended, that's the same as not having a license.
In the eyes of the law, that's correct.
You mean, yes. You don't. Well, I have one, but it's suspended. No, then you don't have a driver's license right now, or it wouldn't be suspended. Don't drive a car if you don't have a license.
That's correct. That's correct, Don. Although now we're going into a different chapter of state law here.
I had to get that out of my system.
Okay, I know what you do.
All right, stop on the red. I can't tell you how many videos I see of T-bone cars because they ran the red light and they figure, oh, just turn red, I can get through it. Yeah, but the other person's light just turned green and he wants to go too. Now, I always wait for a second or two when I look, but most people, if they see the green, they hit the button and they hit the floor and they take off. And that's how you get T-boned.
Yes, yes, yes. And even in today's world, unfortunately, you have people that are intentionally running red lights. That's quite a problem. I know you've seen it on the news, certainly in the Milwaukee area. They've had a number of crashes where people just, it's not a matter of the timing of it. For most of us, it's a matter of the timing. You're trying to get through the light safely, and it's a short time between where it turns from yellow to red, and suddenly you're in the intersection and through it. You know, the rule of thumb was that if you can stop safely, even on a yellow light, you're required to do so. And certainly with a red, you're not supposed to be going into the intersection at all.
Let's go back to 1971. I'm in driver's ed, and I had a great driver's ed teacher. And we all said, what does a yellow light mean? Slow down? He goes, no, it doesn't mean slow down. It means clear the intersection. Get out of the intersection. You're not supposed to be there when there's a yellow light. If you can stop, you stop. If you're in the middle of the intersection with a yellow light, get through it and clear the intersection. And I never forgot that. It's clear the intersection.
Correct.
So don't stop in the middle if you see a yellow light. Get out of the intersection. Keep going and clear it. But if you see it in the distance, slow down and don't get stuck in the intersection when the light's red. And that was brilliant. I always thought it meant slow down when I was a kid. It doesn't mean slow down. It means clear the intersection.
Correct. It's something where, again, there's a few intersections that you see now. I know that like on Highway 20, where it's approaching Highway H, you have actually a separate signal that starts flashing yellow saying that the signal ahead is going to be changing.
Oh, really?
So be aware of that.
Oh, that's good.
But part of that is because, again, you've got a little bit if you will, the sight, the distance of sight for you to be able to see the traffic signal because you're coming over the crest of a hill as you go down underneath the railroad tracks.
Tom Nitter is here. He's vice chair of the Racine County Traffic Safety Commission. We've got a lot more to talk about. You keep it right here at WRJN. Tom Nitter, vice chair of the Racine County Traffic Safety Commission, is my guest. We're talking about staying safe and its rules of the road this month in February. And Tom's going to be here the first Thursday of every month to talk about the new poster and some of the information on there. You know, you think it's common, but I had a friend of mine that said common sense isn't common. And there's a lot of truth in that. Okay, we talked about what you do when you get to a yellow light. You know, when I grew up, some of the lights in the city, they didn't have yellow lights. They were only red and green. And for yellow, they both came on, red and green. I haven't seen those, thank goodness, because they're kind of scary. But, yeah, where I grew up, they didn't have yellow lights. They had red, green, and they both came on. That meant slow down or get out of the intersection. Okay, so now we're talking about a red light. Now, you would assume everybody knows what to do with a red light. And again, when I grew up, you didn't have this right on red stuff. It didn't exist. You had to stop and that was it. But now they have right, you can do a right on red, except where it says no right turn.
That's correct. And some states like Illinois actually have something called photo enforced, which means that what they do is they'll monitor the camera footage and they want to make sure that you come to a complete stop before you and make sure that, of course, traffic is clear before you safely pull into the intersection, making a right turn on red.
In, I know a lot of people try to beat the cars. They see it. I see it on Washington Avenue a lot when I'm coming up from Ohio, and they make the turn, and it, you're not supposed to have everybody put on their brakes because you're making a turn. I mean, they have the right of way, but I see people do it all the time. It's amazing their cars don't have dents on them. You know how they do this stuff. So red means what it means. It means stop, and it doesn't mean slow down. It means stop. It's like a stop sign. People say, well, we have a stop sign here on Victory Avenue. And sometimes for the fun of it, I'll just go out there and watch the people. They cruise through it slowly. And they think, well, I went through.
A lot of people use it as like it's a yield sign.
Yeah, I slowly went through. Yeah. They said, well, I saw nobody was coming. It doesn't mean nobody's coming. And when I come to work in the morning, I leave the house at about 5:15. And people feel, well, the rules don't start until 6 a.m., overnights, they're kind of loosened up. They're not loosened up. I don't want to crash my car. We're not loosening up any. It just drives me nuts. Let's go back to this before I go on a tangent here. Okay, tailgating. That's the next thing. And this I could spend a half hour on, but go ahead. Talk about tailgating.
Well, tailgating is certainly dangerous. Violators can receive citations or even worse if they end up causing a crash and injuring themselves or others. People just don't realize how dangerous that is. And I think we've all been traveling down the road where, you know, someone is behind us and you look in your rearview mirror and you can literally see their face right upon you, and you can barely make out the front of their car, which means that, they are much, much too close.
Yeah, when I come into work in the morning, it's dark. And I see people the speed limit when I come in on 16th Street is 30 miles an hour. And there's always somebody, they're so close to me, I can't even see their headlights in my rearview mirror. That's how close they are. And if I have to brake all of a sudden, because critters are running across the street at that hour, I got possums, we got cats, and I brake for animals. I don't run them over. If I had a brake for an ant, I get my car smashed. And don't tailgate. Just because you are late for work, don't make me speed. Because I'm not going to speed. I'd go 30 miles an hour, 25 through downtown. Then they want to pass you. And on 16th Street, you can park on the street. So now they come up as they're trying to pass me. There's a car parked in the right. And now they want to cut me off. This goes on every morning. I have a feeling it's the same people.
Unfortunately, yeah. There are a lot of people that are really, really in a hurry. They don't.
Because they're late for work.
They don't budget their time wisely or whatever and so forth. But you know, they'll really be late for work if they get involved in a crash, let alone the bad or poor feeling that they're going to get if they actually cause something and all the financial ramifications if they do cause a crash. So, yeah, so tailgating is not a good thing. You know, as a motorist, I can remember, you know, you had mentioned about driver's ed, and of course, I'm probably in the same group in terms of early 70s, learning how to drive and all that stuff. So we probably received much of the same information. But I can remember the driving, the teacher that I had for that. One thing that was mentioned is if somebody is tailgating, if you can safely pull off to the side, let somebody pass you, that's the best way to go. You know, don't risk.
Even though you're in the right.
Even though, yeah, you're in the right technically, you know. And yeah, if a crash happens after the fact, a law enforcement officer may come along and say, well, you're okay, but, you know, the person that rear-ended you, they actually have more of the responsibility to keep a safe distance behind you,
yeah,
you know, than that. And we're talking about, you know, these things are written, if you will, for dry roadways, sunny, bright days.
Oh, when it's icy outside and snowy,
nighttime.
Yeah.
We're not talking about ice and so forth. There's we didn't mention it in our poster, but there is something regarding your responsibility as a motorist to drive your vehicle in a safe and responsible manner. There's sort of a catch-all law that comes into effect with driving too fast for conditions.
We're going to talk about brake checking too in a minute. Tom Detter is here, vice chair for the Racine County Traffic Safety Commission, and it's Staying Safe and Rules of the Road this month.
Don Rosen in the morning. WRJN.
Tom, Tom Nitter, Vice Chair of the Racine County Traffic Safety Commission, is here. We're talking about the latest staying safe information, rules of the road. We were talking about tailgating, and now we're going to talk about, I wanted to talk about brake checking, too. Brake checking is when somebody's tailgating you, you hit your brakes to, like, you know, spook them a little bit, and that's what causes an accident. Now, is it illegal to brake check?
Well, there is a state law, again, one of the things under Chapter 346, where you're not supposed to put your brakes on suddenly, if you will. So I guess, in a sense, yes, it would be. Obviously, if you have to brake because you need to avoid a collision with something in front of you, that's one thing. And the person following behind you, if they're following too close, there's a good possibility they just won't be able to react in time. So technically, yes, it is to brake check. Again, we would rather encourage people to pull off to the side where it's safe to do so and let the people behind you pass, let them get on their way. And
you people do it to be mean. They brake check. They hit their brakes.
Well, they just
to spook you.
They do. And I often thought that wouldn't it be nice if, over the years, of course, they've added what we call the third brake light, which is either... depending on the vehicle, it's somewhere located near the rear window of the vehicle, either at the top of it or the bottom of it, in addition to the brake lights that you have on the tailgate, if you will, of your vehicle. I always thought it would be a good idea if the manufacturers would come up with something that you could push a button and say, please back off or something like that, but I'm not so sure.
Back off, Boogaloo.
I'm sure there would be some people that would change what it would say or whatever. So that might backfire, but.
Have one of those little traveling signs you can type in. And
then, something, but yeah.
Now, back in the 60s, when I was a little kid, a guy named Robbie Jacobs on my block had everybody come see his new car because they had something new in it we had never seen before, seatbelts. And these were the seatbelts. They just went around your waist. That was it.
Right.
And we all got a chance to go in his car and put on the seatbelt. We had never seen him before. No mm-hmm. cars had him.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to believe that, people were driving around without seatbelts, but that's just the way it was. They weren't around it. So I saw it as a brand-new station wagon, and now it's a law. Is it? It's a law in all 50 states, I would assume.
You got to have
your seatbelt on.
Yes, absolutely.
And...
Yes.
I like when the police say they could see people when they pull them over, reach over slowly and grab the seatbelt.
Right.
And with dash cams and body cams, we see you do it. I mean,
sure.
We see you put
it
on there.
Sure.
Now, seatbelts do save lives because when there's a crash, I mean, you have a choice, go through the window or not go through the window. If you go through the window, it's not going to be good.
Well, not just going through the window, but I mean actually hitting your head or something inside the vehicle. The what's called the pillars that sort of support the roof line the windshield is there, and then you got those two pillars that kind of the windshield attaches to. I've seen it over the years where people were not wearing their safety belt, and unfortunately they hit the pillar and had significant head injury. Or even worse would be if a person gets ejected completely out of the vehicle, not necessarily through the windshield, but through one of the side windows. And it's amazing how much force there is that happens in a crash. I had a fatal crash at 4 Mile on Highway 38 that I was involved in an investigation on, and there was a woman that obviously was not wearing her safety belt that actually got ejected through the rear window of her vehicle. And when I got there, wasn't too much I could do. I think she was already deceased. But, some of these violent crashes, people don't realize that. Seatbelts are kind of an interesting thing. They didn't come into state law, until in Wisconsin it was like 1963 or something like that. But surprisingly, and you might remember this too, Don, at least when I was a kid, even though seatbelts were required in motor vehicles, a lot of times people wouldn't wear them unless they were going on a trip on the highway. If they were going on the interstate system where it was a high rate of speed, then they would put the safety belt on.
And that was only the waist belt.
And that was only
there was no shoulder
the
harness, belt.
Right?
Yeah, just
right.
A waist belt.
And then there was some revolution. Then there was something where you might recall the days where there was actually a shoulder belt that then would be sort of clipped to if it were the roof line of either the driver's side, the passenger side, the front only, and where you could, again, you know, snap that into place. Then eventually they went to something called the three-point harnessing, where you have it now where you reach over and you have the seatbelt and the shoulder belt all in one thing.
And you know what? It's second nature to me. I mean, I don't even think about it. It just, I get in and just pull the seatbelt around. It just, I don't even think about it anymore.
So you do now. And again, it's a motor habit. You know, just like you're technically you're supposed to be getting in and every time, you know, adjusting the seat and the mirror and all that stuff to make sure that you're ready to go. Most people don't. But, you know, we certainly do encourage them to wear the seatbelts. I would, when I did some of the public events with individuals out in Caledonia, a lot of times, you know, again, we encourage seatbelt use. But I always had one person that would come up to me and they'd say, well, back in 1964 or 1965, if I had been wearing a seatbelt and I was in a crash, you know, I would have been killed, which is possible. I mean, I wasn't there. But again, you're playing the odds with this, you know, and definitely seatbelts and, you know.
Nothing is
really
absolute. Yeah.
That's correct. But I mean, it really does. And we actually, with this month, we actually updated a statistic. We try not to use too many statistics in our posters. And we had one, the last one was actually from 2013. So I thought, well, we better try to update this one a little bit. And we've got the listed here. It says in 2023, economic losses from traffic fatalities and injuries in Wisconsin cost more than $33.2 billion, according to the 2023 Wisconsin traffic crash facts. So it's not just injuries we're talking about here. We're talking about an economic cost to the individual and to society in general.
Now, also in cars, the manufacturers made it very annoying if you don't put a seatbelt on. They got lights and bells and ding, 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 which is annoying. And they want it to be annoying. They want you to be bothered by it.
Oh, absolutely.
And they want you to say, I just got to stop that ringing sound. And they want you to put the seatbelt on. And that's what it's there for, to annoy you. And the flashing red light is there to annoy you, so you put your seatbelt on and get rid of it.
And that's true. And I have to say, and I haven't seen statistics for a while, but I think Wisconsin is one of the states where there's a very good compliance rate for people using seatbelts. Interesting thing, when I got into law enforcement in the mid-70s, even law enforcement people would not wear seatbelts.
Well, I noticed that I watched that show On Patrol Live on the Reels channel. They never wear seatbelts. They never. Occasionally, if they're in a high speed pursuit, they'll put their belt on. Other than that, they just in and out of the car. They don't use them. Everybody always says when you talk about seatbelts, and I think I know the answer for this. Let's see what you say. School buses do not have seatbelts for the students on the buses, and I've seen things go where they have an accident. And these kids are around like little lotto balls flying all over the bus. But they don't have seatbelts on. Now, I think I know the rule. I think I know why. If there's a problem, that driver can't get everybody unbuckled. There's just no way to get 50 kids unbuckled on a thing if there's a fire on the bus or whatever, so they just don't put them in. That would have you understand it?
Well, I think that's actually starting to change a little bit. And some of it might be due to the age of the kids and so forth. Just like there's laws that govern, you know, child care seats and so forth. There are certain ages where, you know, it could be potentially more dangerous using a seatbelt. If you have like a 2-year-old or something like that, that's not going to be harnessed in properly, then a child car seat is going to be the way to go. So some of that may come into play. We are going to be doing something on school bus safety, and maybe that would be something we can look into a little bit more and find out. But I know occasionally it does come up. And fortunately, school buses and the same thing with transit buses, these things are built like tanks, you know, and so forth. They're very, very sturdy and so forth. And I know
you hear about them running off the road.
You do. You do hear them. Right. You do hear them crashes. And that certainly is something that we, you know, we don't want to see anybody injured and so forth. So I don't know how much of it is based on just culture of something that, again, it has existed for such a long time, and how much of it is pragmatic in terms of, well, would it be feasible for a five-year-old to buckle up or what have you? I don't know. I don't have the answer on that. I'm not.
Well,
gonna,
you've seen these videos when there's a school bus accident, and you see it on the camera in the bus, and these kids are flying, hitting the ceiling. They're like lotto balls, and they're flying around. I don't know what the answer is. If I did, I'd run for, you know, head of the world, and I'd fix all the problems. I don't know what the answer is on that. Also, when my daughter was born, she was born in Georgia when I lived down there. And one of the rules was, it was a brand new rule, they do not release that baby to you unless they have to come out and see the car seat. And the car seat had to be buckled in with a seatbelt, you know, the whole seat.
Sure.
And then they had to have a car seat, a buckle on the car seat itself. And they used to have somebody come out, they examine your car, okay, they can release the baby.
Sure.
You'd be surprised how many people don't have car seats for their kids. A lot of, most people do, but a lot of them don't. And these kids, that seatbelt's not going to hold that kid in unless he's got a car, unless you, yeah, or she's got a car, yeah, seat.
I know in Wisconsin when my son was born, I know the same thing where at that time it was Ascension, and they had actually had someone come out and take a look at the
car seat before they release that kid,
which is a good idea. Now, law enforcement is involved in that to some extent, but actually public health departments have really taken a lead in terms of promoting child car seat safety and proper installation and so forth. I went to a course that was through Wisconsin DOT a number of years ago on occupant safety, and that certainly was one of the major topics was car safety seats. And we had to put together a presentation, and we had one of the members of our group, his daughter-in-law, unfortunately, had been involved in a pretty severe car crash. And he basically went and took a video of the condition of the vehicle and then showed the child car seat that was properly installed in the right location in the vehicle, and that was pristine, and the child was just fine, and that's what we really want.
Yeah. My father used to say, this is precious cargo you're putting in your car.
Right.
When we first had my daughter, this is your most precious cargo. You better take care of it. Anyway, Tom Ditter is here. He's vice chair of the Racine County Traffic Safety Commission. We're talking about our staying safe poster for the month, and this is Rules of the Road. Tom Ditter, my guest. He's the vice chair of the Racine County Traffic Safety Commission. The latest poster is talking about rules of the road. Drive right, pass left. Never pass somebody on the right side. And people do it all the time. The worst people to pass are truck drivers because they can't see you. A lot of blind spots. And if you're ever on the road with an 18-wheeler, you will lose every single time. There's no time you're going to beat an 18-wheeler on the road on the interstate. So if you plan on passing them on the right, you're putting your life in jeopardy because you're not going to win.
Well, that's correct. And same thing with city buses. And I know a lot of these vehicles, they'll have some type of, I guess I'll call it a sticker that advises people, pass me, whatever. With semis, I think most people don't realize how far back they need to be. And we alluded to this a little bit last month with like snowplow safety, where we say stay back 200 feet. Part of it is because, again, you're going to get the salt that gets augured onto the roadway that may end up on you. But also with trucks, large trucks and large vehicles, you have to be able to see their mirrors for them to be able to see you. You know, again, that's just the laws of physics and so forth. So, but with this, we're talking about primarily staying to the right. If you with a two-lane highway, obviously it makes sense that you're going to be going one lane each direction. But even on the interstate, you see people where, the left lane technically is supposed to be for the fastest moving traffic. And if you're going to be going at the speed limit or less than that, certainly you want to be in the center lane, if not the right lane, if you're going at what we refer to as the minimum speed limit, like on the interstate, for example.
When I first got my permit, my dad took me driving. The worst person to take driving, because he doesn't care, he'll put you on the fastest road. And so he took me on an expressway, and he said, speed up. People are passing you. You're going to cause an accident. Speed up. And I said, but this is this. He said, speed up a little bit. Keep up with the flow of traffic because people are trying to pass you. and everybody, and you're going to cause an accident. Keep up with the flow of traffic. And he always said that to me. I said, but I'm going at, it was 55 miles an hour. I'm going 55. Keep up with the flow of traffic. Don't you see all these cars running by you? He said, you're going to cause an accident on this road. Keep up with the flow of traffic. And I never forgot that. That, you know, people are, if everybody's passing you, you're going to cause an accident if you go too slow.
And that's kind of the dilemma that you face, especially for, I guess I'll call us our polite Wisconsin drivers. If you go down to the Chicagoland area and travel on the expressways down there, you'll see that it seems like the speed limit is just a suggestion, if you will.
That's right.
More so than the law.
Yeah. And I
hate to say it, but there is a little bit of truth to that. And that creates other issues for like policies for different agencies. You know, at what point do you start stopping people for speeding? At what point does speeding become reckless? Where you're creating a problem, but there is, unfortunately, there is a bit of truth in the matter. And, you know, we can get into speed enforcement, and most people say, well, I only go 5 over the limit, or I set my cruise control or whatever. The fact is, in Wisconsin, there's something called an absolute speed law, which means if it says 55, that's what it means, 55. In true practice, though, it's something a little bit different, and most people regard it that way.
You know, in all my father's years of driving in New York, he never got into an accident.
Yeah, well,
it's hard to believe.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes I'll look at the NASCAR races, and those are professional athletes. Obviously, they train and they've got vehicles that are equipped to do certain things and so forth. In fact, I have to compliment NASCAR. There's some people that just look at it as a sport, but a lot of the safety things that we have now in motor vehicles
came from NASCAR. Yeah.
So they do deserve credit in that regard.
Our last topic is blinkers. This is a hot point with me. How people just turn in, especially when they pass me coming in, there's no blinker to come into my, they just pull in front of me. Now, I remember when I learned to drive, you had to put your arm out of the window to make a turn. I don't think anybody does that. But you got blinkers. How difficult is it to put your blinker on? All you do is have to touch that little thing on the left of your steering wheel. It's not a big thing. It's not physically exerting yourself.
It's sort of like the same hand motions you'd use to ride a bicycle, where you extend it out left, make a left turn, and so forth.
I don't see anybody doing that either.
I don't know. It was supposed to be that, and I remember learning that, having to demonstrate with driver's ed, because I think there was some concern that, if your turn signals failed you, you'd have a fail-safe way of signaling.
And that's good. And so it's a good idea to know it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
In practice, nobody does it.
Well, they don't. No, they don't. And for the most part, the traffic's the turn signals and so forth are pretty reliable today. In fact, I'll say this: I've noticed with at least newer vehicles, especially if they have like the old type of bulb in there versus the LED now, if it just you turn like to make a left turn and the thing doesn't flash. Well, many times that tells you got a burnt out bulb somewhere, either the front or the back. So
you ever see the ones when they twin in their signal? It's not a blinker. It's a whole row of lights that keeps going back.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, that's
sure.
I mean, that really gives you the signal there. But I don't know why people don't use that. I mean, my wife even said, you don't need to turn your signal on here because it's really, the road is turning left and there's nowhere to go except left. But I do it. I just do it because it's force of habit.
Well, there's certainly nothing wrong.
I want people to know where I'm going.
Well, that's the whole idea behind it is to signal your intentions to the other people. There are some things that we do mention in our supporting materials for the poster here. I'll just read it to you here. You're legally required to signal before pulling over, pulling into traffic, lane changing, parking, merging, turning right and left. And yes, you can get a ticket for failing to signal your intentions. And that's certainly true. So usually, as a matter of where you're supposed to be using it, it would be certainly intersections and traffic lights overtaking a cyclist, making turns, switching lanes.
Oh, yeah, you got to be careful around motorcycles.
Well, you got to...
They use hand signals, motorcyclists,
well,
yeah.
Motorcycles or bicycles as well. Yeah. You know, don't forget them. We, you know, the roads are meant to be shared between motor vehicles, whether it be motorcycles or cars or trucks or whatever, and pedestrians and bicyclists.
Here's how to find what we talked about this morning. Everything we talked about is at RacineCounty.com/staying safe. RacineCounty.com/staying safe. Again, RacineCounty.com/staying safe. You'll see everything we talked about. It'll change every month. And Tom will be in here the first Thursday of every month.
Somebody even more knowledgeable on these topics. And yeah, it's what, forward slash? Is that, do we need to mention
that? I just say
that?
Slash. Okay. Yeah, there's no forward slash. People figure that out. I think that's
okay.
All they do.
All right.
It's like, no, you don't have to put www in there
that's
anymore.
That's true. Yeah. Not anymore. Right. They kind of figured it out.
Tom Nitter is the vice chair of the Racine County Traffic Safety Commission. Thanks for being with us. I do appreciate it, my friend.
All right. Thank you, sir.
You're a good talker. I appreciate it. And for all your years of service, serving in the police department and public safety, I do appreciate that. All right. Hey, coming up, it's 8 o'clock at WRJN. More local news and timeless hits. First news from CBS.
Local news and timeless hits. WRJN. Racine, Kenosha.